Let us come to worship this morning. Let us all pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to worship Thee this morning. We pray that Thou will help us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray that the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will be upon our coming together. In Jesus' name, amen. We're turning in our worship as we open this morning to Psalm 23. We sing it the usual way. We sing it with the ladies coming in and then the men coming in at the end, the parts of the psalm. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. The Psalm 23 on page 20, we'll stand as we sing. Read together the Word of God this morning in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and reading together from the opening verse. The book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and reading together from the opening verse of this scripture. Acts chapter 2 and the verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing wind, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire,
and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. This was noised abroad. The multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in their own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians, and Medes, and Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel, and shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, and will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his inspired, infallible, and inerrant word to all of our hearts. Let us bow together in prayer. Let us all unite in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee this morning, giving thanks for thy great mercies and for thy great salvation. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast loved us with an everlasting love, that thou hast set thy love upon us from all eternity. We thank thee, O God, for love so amazing, so divine, demands our souls, our life, our all. We come to thee to give thee thanks this morning for enabling us to be in your house, for enabling us to be in your presence this morning, around your word, at your feet. We pray that today we will hear your voice. And O God, we ask of thee that there might be amongst us a gracious, powerful, mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. We pray that thou wilt come and take of the things of Christ and reveal them unto us this morning. Grant that we might know thy presence, thy nearness and thy power, even as we think upon thy word, as we consider thy truth today. We pray that it'll be written upon our hearts. Remember those, O God, that need thee today. O God, in the time of grief and loss, we think of these families connected through our church here today. We pray for the Hannah family and the Cleanan families, that thou would remember them in their sad losses, that thou will comfort them and be with them. Remember others in our congregation today. If those who are laid aside, we pray that you remember our sister Margaret McCreary in hospital. Remember, O God, Brian McCloy's stepmother in hospital. And we pray for our brother Robert, O God, our organist at this time, that thou wouldst remember him, Lord, that thou wouldst touch him, and that thou wouldst heal him, and that thou wouldst restore him to our midst, and O God, to health and strength once again. We commend others to thee too, who need thy touch this morning. We pray that thou wilt draw near to each one, that thou wilt cause them to recover, if it is your will. And O God, remember too, Lord, those who are cold at heart, who do not come into the courts of thy house as they formerly did. We pray that thou wilt give them renewed desire for the things of God. Restore unto them the joy of thy salvation. Remember others, O God, today, Lord, who are not seen. We pray that even in the midst of the years that thou wouldst speak to them, and that thou wouldst draw them in saving faith to Christ. Hear us this morning and bless us with thy presence, O God, not only here in Ballygowan, but across our churches, and everywhere the gospel is truly preached today. May men and women across this land come to know and to trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Be with us now. Grant us thy favor and grant us thy presence. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. The hymn number 172, we will stand as we sing together this hymn. Lord, as of old at Pentecost, thou didst thy power display with cleansing, purifying flame. Descend on us today. 172, on page 246, we'll stand as we sing together. Let's stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Charles, this is quiz Sunday. So, I've got the bag, so you have to have the answers. You have to have the answers to get something. Now, we're thinking about this, of course, story. And we've gone over the last few weeks about Paul and Silas and how this young woman cried out after them. I'm giving you a wee bit of an update here, quickly. And, of course, she followed after them and she cried out, "Ye men are the servants of the Most High God, and speak unto us the way of salvation." And, of course, this girl was a fortune teller, we would say, and she was making her masters much gain, and she was they were gaining much money. But, of course, Paul cried out against the evil spirit and called the evil spirit out of this girl, and she was delivered. She was delivered, and she was wonderfully transformed, right? So, we come to the questions, boys and girls, this morning. We'll just go blank there, and so that you're not getting any more offers of help. That's it, Alexander. Thank you. Right. What was the name of the place that Paul was called to? He was called to this particular area. What was the name of the place? Philippi. Well, yes, that was the other one, but there's another place as well. But put your hand in there and get something out of there. Okay. Right. Now, there was another place that he was called to first of all, and that was the actual area, but that was right, what Angie said there. But this is another question for the actual area. Anybody know that? There's a man calling for this, come over to this area and help us. Begins with M. Begins with M, yes. Macedonia, that's it. Now you're allowed to pick one out of this here. Okay, there you are. Good, right. Now, where was the prayer meeting held? They went to a prayer meeting and the prayer meeting was held. Where was it? Where was it held? By a certain place, yes? Pardon? No. Where was it held? By a certain place. It wasn't in a church now. It was somewhere else. You might walk somewhere down by. You walk by a certain place. There was a prayer meeting by. Anybody know? Yes, somebody up there? Begins with R. Yes? River, that's it, Joshua. That's it, right. A river, by a river. Right, there you are. Okay. Now, who was the lady saved by the river at that prayer meeting? There was a lady saved, yes? Go ahead. Sorry? Lydia, yes, come on down. You get a wee prize here. Yes, Lydia was saved by the river. Now, what was wrong with the girl who cried out after Paul and Silas? What was wrong with her? What was wrong with her? She cried out after Paul. Yes? She had a demon. That's it. That's it. Yes. You get a wee prize there. Okay. Good. Right. She had a demon. And what was she doing? She was telling people's what? What was she telling people's? Pardon? Somebody said it. Fortunes. Right, come on down. Come on down. You'll get a prize if you come down. What was the girl doing as Paul and Silas were preaching the word of God? Good boy. Right. What was the girl doing as Paul and Silas was preaching the word of God? What was she doing? We mentioned it this morning again. Pardon? Crying out. Right, come on ahead. You get a prize as well. Wouldn't it do your brother got one if you didn't get one? That would be a fight at lunchtime, wouldn't it? Right, there's James. Okay. Good boy. Right. Now, what did Paul do? What did Paul do when she cried out? What did Paul do? What did he do? He did something. Anybody know that one? Yes? Yes, he commanded the spirit to come out. That's it. Yes. Go ahead, Lucy. Good girl. There's somebody else to come down here. I must have got lost on the way down. Right. What happened to this girl when Paul did this? Oh, there he is. The man himself. Okay. Good. Good. Right. What happened? What happened to this girl when Paul called the spirit out? What happened? Yes, Alexander. She was saved. Oh, she was delivered. Yes. Wonderful. Right. And what was the change? This is the last one. What was the change in this girl? What was the change in her, this girl? She was saved, yes. But what was the change in her? There was a great change in her. What was the change in her life? I'm going to fall down the steps now. Here you are. Good man yourself. Okay. What was the change in her? I have to keep these sweets for myself now. I've got plenty of choice here. What was the change in her? She was freed from the evil spirit, wasn't she? Is that what you were going to say? That was what you were going to say, right? I'll give you a sweet for what you were going to say. Good man. Okay. There you are. Well, boys and girls, well done. So we're going to have a chorus now, quickly. So we'll have this chorus. I want you to join in the singing of the chorus this morning. Okay, boys and girls, and everybody joining in the singing and in the actions. Sing it through twice. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Sweating as well, all that, getting too old for all this, but anyway, thank you for participating. Now we're going to hear about the youth project this morning, so we're going to ask the youth to come and to speak to us now, and we're going to hear about this latest project. Chris is going to come, and Will, I think, is going to come as well, so go ahead.
Year, the Youth Fellowship have decided to take up the new challenge of supporting another missionary. This year we have decided to support the work of Donald Fleming and Faith in Action Missions in Ukraine. The main aim of Faith in Action Missions is to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ through evangelism by collaborating with local churches. One way in which they do this is by providing the local communities with small radios that broadcast gospel messages throughout the day. Each radio costs £11, and so our goal is to raise enough money to buy 20 radios that can be distributed to the people of Ukraine. You may have already worked out by now that the total amount we would like to raise is £220.
So how are we going to raise this money? Well, as a group, we are going to be preparing and serving the supper next Sunday night after the family and friends service. We've given Group Free the night off to enjoy their supper, and you will have the opportunity to make a donation towards this vital ministry during the supper. Anything you can give will always be greatly appreciated, and we look forward to serving you next week.
Thanks, Chris, and I should say Christopher, giving his proper name, Christopher, and well, this morning for highlighting that. And of course, Donald Fleming was with us before Christmas, and they're buying these radios and seeking to send them out. So it's a good cause, and we'd ask you to support this next Sunday night. I think that when he said about the supper, Group 3 are really doing the supper, but the Youth Fellowship are helping out to serve it and so forth. So do remember that next Sunday night. If you want to give, there'll be a basket there to support. If you're not going to be out next Sunday night, the basket will be out next Sunday morning so that you can give in the morning time as you leave the service. Thank you very much indeed. It's good to see the youth taking part in these projects, encourage them in doing it. Could I welcome you all this morning in the Lord's name to the house of God? We trust the Lord will bless our coming together. Do remember the service this afternoon in the nursing home at Beachfield at 2:30, and then at 3:30 we have our special time of prayer for revival and for the gospel mission. Do remember that. We've only a couple of more times of prayer, these special seasons before the mission. And do let's come out this afternoon for the season of prayer, please. And then at 6:30 tonight, the time of prayer preceding the gospel service. Tonight, we're thinking about the subject of hell. And of course, there's a lot of talk about hell in recent times, even from those in political positions talking about hell. And so we want to speak on that subject tonight. God's answers to man's questions about hell. So remember tonight in the gospel at 7, do come again, support us by your presence and with your prayers. And then could I mention that Little Sunbeams is on tomorrow as usual. It's not off tomorrow, but the Awana Club is off tomorrow because of the half-term break. And then Tuesday night, the children's meeting at 7 to 7:45, midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We encourage you to come again to pray for the mission and for the Bible study on Tuesday at 8 o'clock. On Friday night, there will be no youth fellowship with the this week being the half term. So remember that, please. No youth this Friday night. Farewell to Reverend Murray as he leaves Cumber to take up the ministry in Lurgan. That will be in the Cumber Church this Friday night at 8 o'clock. All are welcome. Then Saturday night, the youth reach at 7:30 to 9:15. Do remember that, please, for all young people from year 7 upwards are welcome to come on Saturday evenings when the reach is on. That's this Saturday coming at 7:30. And then next Lord's Day, I will be here, God willing, in the morning time to bring the Word of God as our communion service, meet around the Lord's table for all who know and love the Savior after the morning worship. The Sunday School and Bible class at 10. The evening service will be a special family and friends night service. And it's been mentioned to you already about that, a little bit about that. But our special testimony is Mr. Philip Moore, a former paratrooper. And he's going to tell his story, a wonderful story, the grace of God in his life. So remember that next Sunday night, and do invite others. The Monteith family will be ministering in song. It'll be also the dedication of Dale, Natasha's daughter, Faith, at the conclusion of that service. Do remember, please, the service is next Lord's Day, and do come support the meetings. Remember that appeal that was made by Christopher and Will this morning. Refreshments are in the charge of Group 3, but Youth Fellowship will be helping with the serving next Sunday night. The Church Week of Prayer, Monday the 4th to Friday the 10th of March, especially for every aspect of the work of the Church, and focusing, of course, on our gospel mission with Reverend Higginson from the 7th to the 14th of April. Remember us also in the school assembly in Carrickmannan this Friday morning at 9 o'clock. Do pray for the work of God in all its aspects this week again. Could I just remind you to pray for these families that have been plunged into grief connected through our church here The Hannah family and the Cleland family have lost loved ones. We pray for them that God will comfort them. Remember our organist, Robert, who's been off and has been ill. Do pray for Robert that the Lord's healing touch will be upon him. And also our sister Margaret McCreary was suddenly taken into hospital on Friday night and is remaining in hospital at this time. Do remember Margaret and pray for the Lord's touch upon her. And all others that are laid aside, that God will touch and heal and restore. I remember Billy Heron in your prayers continually that God will touch him and that God will bring him to the saving experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to join in the singing of hymn number 179, keeping our seats as your offerings are being received. Today is our retiring offerings as well for the Missionary Council of the Free Presbyterian Church. Remember that at both services as you leave the services today. 179, Spirit of Faith, come down, reveal the things of God and make to us the Godhead known and witness with the blood. 179, keeping our seats as we sing together. Stepmother too in hospital, and Brother David Patton's uncle who's laid aside. Also remember these folk as well in your prayers. Father, we commend these dear ones to thee too, and we pray for thy touch upon them, and Lord, that they might know God's hand upon their lives and upon their bodies at this time. Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I draw your attention this morning to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. And the subject again is the Holy Spirit at work in the Acts of the Apostles. The Holy Spirit at work in the Acts of the Apostles. We have been in chapter 1 in recent weeks, looking at this theme. And now we come to chapter 2 in the opening verses, as we continue to develop this subject. Vance Havner said, "We are not going to move this world by criticism, nor conformity to it, but combustion within it,
of lives ignited by the Spirit of God. The early church had none of these things that we think are so essential for success today. Buildings, money, political influence, social status. And yet that church under God won multitudes to Christ and saw many churches established throughout the Roman world. Why? Because the church had the power of the Holy Spirit energizing its ministry. They were a people ignited by the Spirit of God. And that same Holy Spirit, brethren and sisters, is available to us this morning to make us more effective witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the better we understand His working at Pentecost, the better we will be able to relate to Him and experience His power. The ministry of the Spirit of God is to glorify Christ in the life and witness of the believer. John 16, verse 14. And that is what is important. Here we discover in this passage of God's Word that they were all with one accord in one place. The emphasis from the last time, chapter 1, they were united. They were in harmony. They were still as one. Still waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And how patient and persevering they were. The day of Pentecost had come 1,500 years before. But now, according to verse 1 of chapter 2 of Acts, it was fully come. It had come and gone, ever since Moses instituted the feast. But now it had come to stay. On the day of Pentecost, in Old Testament times, the Jews took individual grains of corn. They ground them into flour. They added oil and leaven. And they made 2 loaves of bread. The loaves were then offered to the Lord, along with the sacrifice of 7 lambs without blemish, 1 young bullock, and 2 rams for a burnt offering. 10 sacrifices in all, to symbolize the perfection and completeness of Calvary. All symbolized what took place 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. Pentecost, you see, always fell on the first day of the week, symbolizing, even in Old Testament typology, the end of the Sabbath and the consecration of a new day. What a new day it was for the church in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of God came in such power, when the Spirit of God was outpoured with such blessing. And God came on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. The power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. I want you to notice some things concerning what happened when the power of the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. First of all, I want you to notice the symbols here. The symbols. There were 2 symbols here. A sound of a rushing mighty wind and cloven tongues like as of fire. Verses 1, verses 2 to 3. First of all, we have the wind. It was not wind, but a sound like a wind. Something resembling a rushing hurricane. And wind, of course, is an emblem of deity. And therefore, it is a proper symbol of the Holy Spirit. Often under the Old Testament, God revealed Himself under the emblem of a breath, or a wind. Indeed, the Hebrew word for wind and spirit is the same. And so with the Greek word, when Christ talked with Nicodemus there in John's Gospel chapter 3, it was not easy for translators to tell us when he said spirit and when he said wind. Indeed, some most correctly render the original all the way through by the word wind, while others, with as much reason, have used the word spirit in the translation. The original word signified either the one or the other, or both. Wind, of course, of all material things, one of the most spiritual in appearance. It is invisible, ethereal, mysterious, and hence men have fixed upon it as being nearest akin to spirit, the wind of God. Oh, that that mighty wind of God, that mighty Spirit of God might come to His church, even at this time. In Ezekiel chapter 37, when the prophet saw the valley of dry bones, we all know that the Spirit of God was intended by the wind which came. The prophet prophesied, "Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." And of course, they were quickened to life. The Bible tells us this morning that the Lord hath His way in the whirlwind. He displays Himself when He works. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. And thus He reveals Himself when He teaches His servant. And see the words that are used here in Acts chapter 2. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind." A sound. Of course, the Holy Spirit can work in silence. I would be the last to depreciate meetings in which there is nothing but that holy silence. For I could wish that we had more reverence for silence and a stillness. For by such the inner life is nourished. Yet the Holy Ghost does not work for the advancement of the kingdom of God by silence alone. For faith cometh by hearing, the Bible says. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. And here there's a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. When the Word of God is sounded forth throughout the world by the publishing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sound here came on this occasion, no doubt, to call the attention of the assembly that were gathered there in the upper room as to what was about to occur. To arouse them. To fill them with awe. There is something indescribably solemn about the rush of a rising tempest. It bows the soul before the sublime mystery of divine power. You see the source of this sound. It was a sound from heaven. You know, ordinary winds, they blow from the north or from the south, from the east or west, or from the in-betweens, the north, east, or the southeast, etc. But this wind descended from heaven itself. And this sets forth the fact that the true Spirit, the Spirit of God, neither comes from this place or that place. Neither can His power be controlled or directed by human authority. But His working is ever from above. From God Himself. You see, my friend, the Spirit of God coming to His church and working in His church and through His church is not something worked up by man, but it is something that comes down from heaven. The work of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, and His power is evermore, in a special sense, the immediate power of God For this is the Holy Spirit of God. Is this God himself coming amongst his people? Coming downward. Therefore, this mysterious wind passed into the chamber where the people of God were assembled. It filled the room, the Bible tells us here. And notice carefully the words that are used in Acts chapter 2. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. An ordinary rushing mighty wind would have been felt outside the room. Would have probably had destroyed the house or injured those inside if it had been aimed at any one building. But this heavenly gust filled but did not destroy the house. It blessed those that were gathered therein but did not overthrow that waiting company. The meaning of the symbol is that its breath, air, wind is the very life of man. So the Spirit of God is the very life of the spiritual man. By him we are quickened at the first. By him we are kept alive afterwards. By him the inner life is nurtured and increased and perfected. The breath of the nostrils of the man of God is the Spirit of God. This holy breath was not only intended to quicken them, but to invigorate them. What a blessing a breeze is in the midst of a heavy atmosphere. How oftentimes in this country, when we do get a bit of hot weather, we're glad of that gentle breeze. If you've gone to a hot country and people come home from such hot climates and they say, "Oh, I would long for a little bit of breeze. It was so hot. How we long for that heavenly refreshing to come amongst the church of God. If the winds of earth are so refreshing, what must the wind from heaven be? The wind from heaven cleared away all earthly damp and vapors. It aroused the disciples. It left them braced for further work for God. They took in great drafts of this heavenly life. They felt animated. They felt aroused. They felt bestirred. They rose up to serve God as never they had done before. No doubt this wind was intended to show the irresistible power of the Holy Ghost. Nothing can be more potent than the wind when it is thoroughly roused. And so, through the Spirit of God, the church of God is roused. Though the Spirit of God is despised by men, so much so that they don't even believe in its existence, yet let him work with the fullness of his power and you will see what he can do. Oh, that in these days we might see something of that rushing mighty wind sweeping in amongst us, that nothing can resist its power. Man and woman, this is what we need. This is what the church needs. This is what you and I need this morning. It's not some kind of feeling, some kind of emotion. No, it is the power of God that we need in the church of God. First of all, there was the sound. Then there was the sight. This was God's order. You know, we would like to reverse it. We would like to see first, but God puts the hearing first. God's order is always right, my friends. God's order is always right. The first symbol, the wind. But then I want you to think about the second symbol this morning, that of fire. And the Bible tells us here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 3, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." And again, fire is a symbol of deity. You remember Abraham in the Old Testament, he saw the burning lamp. Moses beheld the burning bush. And God said to him, "Take off the shoes from off thy feet, For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And men and women, we are on holy ground this morning. When we think about the Holy Spirit, we're on holy ground. We're thinking about deity. You remember when Solomon had built his holy and beautiful house, the temple, its consecration lay in the fire of God descending upon the sacrifice to mark the fact that the Lord was there. Remember when the Lord had dwelt aforetime in the tabernacle, which was superseded by the temple, he revealed himself in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. And hence, the symbol of fire is a fit emblem of the Holy Spirit. Let us adore and worship Him, the blessed Holy Spirit, this morning. Tongues of fire sitting upon each man's head betoken a personal visitation to the mind and heart of each one of that chosen company there. It wasn't to consume them that this fire came, for no one was injured by the flaming tongue. To men whom God had prepared for his approach, there's no danger in his visitation. They see God and their lives are preserved. They feel his fires and are not consumed. And this is the privilege of those alone who have been prepared and purified for such fellowship with God. And these people were so prepared. These people were so purified for this intimacy with God, this closeness with God, this communion with God. Let me ask you this morning, Christian, are you in the right place with God? For God to come, for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. This is what we need. We desperately need it. The intention of the symbol was to show them that the Holy Spirit would illuminate them as fire gives light. For countless centuries, fire was man's only source of artificial light. It enabled men to work in an otherwise dark world. And of course, my friend, the Bible tells us of the Spirit of God that He will lead you into all truth. The illumination of the Spirit. But fire does more than give light, illumination. It inflames. And the flames which sat upon each of them showed them that they were to be ablaze with love, intense with zeal, burning with self-sacrifice. They were to go forth among men with burning tongues of passionate pleading, persuading and entreating men and women and young people to come to Christ that they might live. Oh, for this fire to burn amongst us today. To inflame every believer here. To inflame the church of God today. But the fire also not only signified illumination and inflaming, but it signified inspiration. For God was about to make them speak under the divine power, to speak as the Spirit of God would give them utterance. And the fire burns steadily within to destroy our sin, to burn up, as the hymn writer said, every trace of sin, to bring the light and glory in. The revolution now begin. Send the fire. The fire purges. In 1066, London was in the grip of the Black Death. But in 1067, came the great fire of London that purged the city of that scourge. Oh, that we might know the purging and purifying of the Holy Spirit's fire even in our hearts. The Lord said, He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. A holy sacrificial flame to make us whole burnt offerings unto God. A never dying flame of zeal for God and devotion to the cross of Christ. Notice that the emblem was not only a fire, but it was like a tongue of fire. For God meant to have His church a speaking church. A speaking church. Not a church that would fight with a sword. With that weapon we have naught to do, but a church that would have a sword proceeding out of his mouth, whose one weapon should be the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some preachers today have their flowery words and their eloquent sentences. They're smooth speaking. But that is not preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. The style of the Holy Ghost is one that conveys truth to the mind and the hearts of men in a most forcible manner. It is plain but flaming, simple but consuming. The Holy Spirit has never written a cold period throughout the whole Bible. Never did he speak by a man a lifeless word, but evermore he gives and blesses the tongue of fire. Put these two symbols together this morning. The wind and the fire. How often we have seen it at work with devastating effect. Going back to the fire of London, when the flames began, it was utterly impossible to quench them because the wind fanned the flame and the buildings give way before that torrent of fire. You've seen forest fires in different countries, fanned by the wind. It's virtually impossible to stop them as they spread with devastating effect. Is it not our prayer this morning? Oh God, send the Holy Spirit in this fashion. Give us both the breath of spiritual life and the fire of unconquerable zeal till nation after nation shall yield to the sway of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. O thou who art our God, answer by fire, we pray. Answer us by wind and fire. And then we shall see God to be God indeed. Oh, may that wind and fire come to this church today. May it sweep through our midst. May it sweep through our hearts. May it sweep through this body. May it sweep through this land. I have much more to say, but I'll finish there and continue next time. We trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to thee and pray for thy help and thy power and thy blessing, that thou wilt, O God, graciously fill us with thy Spirit. Graciously come to the church of God. Come to our hearts today with a mighty Holy Ghost, heaven sent revival. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning in our hymn books to our closing hymn 640, which ties in with what we've been saying this morning. 640, O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. And then, O wind of God, verse 2. And so it goes on through the hymn. Page 434, hymn number 640. We'll stand after the introduction and sing together.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all today, tonight, and tomorrow, until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away, and then with all who are in Christ forevermore. Amen.